You're listening to another great Torah class, recorded by TorahAnytime.com.
For coming after the fast, I'm sure you're all very tired and weak, but what better way of spending a night after a fast, especially in the 3 weeks? Can't listen to music anyway. And learning about Pashas Pinchas. So let's talk about the 3 weeks for a moment. There's one book I forgot to bring. Okay. So we know that one of the things that happened on Shiva HaTamuz was that the Luchos broke. They broke the wall of Yerushalayim. They stopped bringing the Korban Tamid. They burnt the Sefer Torah. It was the Sefer Torah that was burnt. And there was a tzelem, an idol, put in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Kodesh Kedoshim. These are the five things that happened. The beginning of the Peronios, the beginning of the end of the Beis HaMikdash. 3 weeks later, of course, the Beis HaMikdash was in flames. And we know, and everybody talks about this a lot, and that's really what the subject is tonight. We know that the 70 years that we were in Galus, Bavel, was after we did the three main Averis, which was Gilei Arayos, immorality, Shvichas Damim, murder, and Avodah Zarah. And for those three Averis, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we were put into Galus for 70 years. But for the second Beis HaMikdash, which was the Aver of Sinas Chinam means to hate someone for no reason. I don't like this guy. Why don't you like him? I don't know. He echoes me. He gets under my skin. He makes me nervous. You know, girls, I don't like this girl in my class. Why don't you like her? She seems to be nice. I don't like her. She just gives me the chills. Right? That's called Sinas Chinam. It's just, there's absolutely no reason, but there is a reason. There's no Sinna B'chinam. We'll get to the reason, but there's no real reason that you can put your hand on. Well, the mice, you don't hate something unless you're jealous of it. In other words, nobody in this room hates an elephant. You know what to do, I hate you, elephant. I don't like you. I don't know why I don't like you. Because an elephant, is there nothing that an elephant has that you want? So you don't hate Martians, you don't hate elephants, you hate tomatoes if you don't like to eat them, but you don't hate them personally. You're not personally angry at a tomato or at a fruit or a tree, right, or a car. You don't hate a car. You may not like the way the car looks, but you don't hate the car. Because you're not jealous of a car, you're not jealous of a tomato, and you're not jealous of an elephant. So really, all kinna in the world, which we're gonna see in Parshas Bereishis, but all kinna in the world, all jealousy in the world, comes from, sinna, the hatred in the world, sinna comes from kinna. Hatred comes from being jealous. There's a very famous story, it's really said in Yiddish, not said in English, but I'll say it in English. Sinna and kinna went for a walk. Sinna is hatred, kinna is jealousy. And they went for a walk, they met the king. And the king said to the two of them, anything you ask for, the guy who asks for it, I'll give it to him. The other guy will get double. So if you ask me for $100, Reuven asked for $100, I'll give Reuven $100. Shimon will automatically get $200. So what can I get you guys? So each guy is looking at the other guy. I'm not going to ask and get one. You're going to get two. I'm not asking for anything. So the king's waiting, the king's waiting, the king's waiting. Finally he says, listen, if no one's going to ask you for anything, you're going to lose your chance. Neither one of you is going to get anything. They'd rather not get anything, then you should get double what I get. Anyway, all of a sudden, kinna starts smiling. He says to the king, I know what I want. King said, really? You know that he's going to get double whatever you get. He says, 100%, but I know what I want. He says, what do you want? He says to the king, I want you to knock out one of my eyes. It's worth it for me to lose one eye if he's going to lose two eyes. Now, where did this happen? We it sounds like a Wallstein. You're talking about the human race in such a negative way, right? So we go all the way back to the beginning of the world. Which is very interesting. I spoke in a shul last night, and The reason, by the way, just to introduce to you, the reason I'm talking about kinah and sinah, interesting, besides that it comes out, Shabbat Thomas, this week's Parshas Pinchas, right? The word kinah is used in the second pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas, Vaydav Hashem Moshe Lehmah, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Pinchas ben Allah ben Aaron HaKohen, Pinchas the son of Allah ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv is Chamasi, he took back my anger. By the way, I saw it a sefer this week, that to stop Hashem's anger takes a lot of tefillah. But once the anger leaves Hashem to destroy, to turn it around and bring it back to Hashem, it's impossible. Pinchas did that. Because the very heshiv is chamasi, the word heshiv doesn't make sense. Cool down my anger, stop my anger. Heshiv means he returned it. He took Hashem's anger and he returned it back, which is the hardest thing to do, but when a person is willing to give up his life, because the whole Shevet Shimon was sitting there and wanted to kill Pinchas, and you're willing to give up your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have the power. A person who's willing to do that, Mesiras Nefesh, has the power that even after the anger left Hashem, it's on its way to destroy Klal Yisrael, you have the power to send it back to Hashem. That's what he did. Heshiv is Chamasim al b'nei Yisrael. He returned the anger. It was about to wipe out, not 24,000 Jews, everybody. How did Pinchas do this? Bekinoi es kanosi b'soicham. The word kina is the shayrish here, right? By taking revenge amongst them. But kina really means by being jealous. Bekino es kanosi. His jealousy was my jealousy b'soicham amongst them. V'lei chalisi is b'nei Yisrael, and I didn't destroy b'nei Yisrael b'kinosi. Now we know that it says in El Keil Pocket, it calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Ten Commandments, right? Let's go to the Ten Commandments, Parshas Yisro. Thank you for giving me the Chumash. See, I need it. Let's go to Parshas Yisro. Here. Interesting, The first of the Ten Commandments is Anocha Hashem Elokecha, right? The second is Lo Tasechol Pesel. Lo Shishtachav Elohem, don't bow down to them. Lo Tasechol Pesel, and don't serve them. Ki Anochi Hashem Elokecha, because I am Hashem your God. Kel Kana, a jealous God. Whatever that means, we know Hashem, just an expression so that a human being can understand that. So we see that in the first two of the Seres Adibros, because Baruch Hu says, I'm a jealous God. What's the last of the Ten Commandments? How does God sum up all his Ten Commandments? Le'sachmoid, you should not be jealous. Le'sachmoid b'etri'echa, it's interesting. It even gives you, in this, it should just say le'sachmoid. No, but it gives you a breakdown of details of jealousy. Le'sachmoid b'etri'echa, you should not be jealous of your friend's house. You shouldn't be jealous of his wife, Ba'avdai, and his servant, Ba'amoso, and his maidservant, Vishayroi, and his ox, Vichamoro, and his donkey, Vicholashalariacha. It could have just said, Vicholashalariacha. All these things would have been included. No, the Torah breaks down each one that you should think about. Do I want to have a house like my friend? Do I want to have a beautiful wife like my friend? Do I want to have servants and workers? And animals and cars, and so it makes the person think about each single individually. But the Torah spends a lot of time on this jealousy. So the end of the sum of all Ten Commandments is you should not be jealous. And it's very hard to understand what is they doing in the Ten Commandments. I mean, if I were to tell you, okay, you're a Jew, you have to believe God's the only God. Absolutely, I understand that's very important. You're not allowed to serve any other gods. That's very important. You shouldn't swear with God's name in vain. I got that. Shabbos. Kavis Avechimecha, for sure. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't commit adultery. These are huge things, right? You shouldn't lie and be a witness against somebody when it's not true. You put him in jail. You can put him to Misa, right?
And then comes something that sounds very normal. You shouldn't be jealous.
Hello? You're standing by the Ten Commandments. The world is shaking. You shouldn't kill. You shouldn't commit adultery. You should believe in God. And by the way, don't be jealous. Hashem, like, what is that doing amongst the 10 big ones? Right? It's not one of the big ones. It's not a big one. I can think of bigger ones than that, right? You shouldn't eat treif. That's bigger than you shouldn't be jealous. The answer is no. The basis of the destruction of our Beis HaMikdash, the basis of the Aveira that Chava did was based on one Aveira, was based on jealousy. So to fix the basis of the Ten Commandments is here as the foundation of the Torah, as the foundation of the world, the Seres HaDibros. So the foundation, the last mitzvah of all ten in the Seres HaDibros, you shouldn't be jealous. What's the big deal if I'm jealous? So let me tell you what the big deal is. And we see that the way that Pinchas sent the anger and his reward was that he would live forever was because he was jealous. That's the word, bekanoi, as kinosi. He was jealous for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was a Kael Kana. He was jealous. He did Mesirat Nefesh. He had the power of taking Hashem's anger. Imagine it was out. It was gone. It was already on its way down here. And take it and turn it around and throw it back. So what's going on over here? So we have to go back. We have to go back to the beginning. So in the beginning, it says the Nachash Hayarum, he was Mikol Chayas HaSadeh. He was the shrewdest of all the animals. Vayom El Isha, and he said to the woman, is it true that God said you shouldn't eat from all the trees? Of course Hashem knew that, I mean, the Nachash knew that wasn't true. But he told me, Isha, Nachash, repeat, no, we can eat from the fruit of the garden. Repeat, Hashem, Toich HaGarden, but those trees in the middle of the gan, we're not allowed to eat. Well, but she added, as we all know, you're not allowed to touch it. Pen to musin, because we're going to die. You won't die. At this point, she wasn't interested in eating from the tree, because it was an argument. You say, I say, I will die. You say, I won't die. I'm not interested in eating from this tree. But what happened? The Nachash knew that if he can make her jealous, she would eat from the tree. So he says to her, Ki yodei Elokim, let me tell you why Hashem told you not to eat from this tree. Because God has something you don't have, basis of jealousy. You have something I don't have. Even if I don't need it. Oh, I can tell you so many stories where people have to have with the other guy. They don't even need it. I want your baseball glove. Do you play baseball? No. If he has such a nice baseball glove, I want such a nice one. But you don't play baseball. Doesn't matter. If he has it, I want it. Jealousy doesn't make sense. I gave a shiur in Queens last night. So after my shiur was all about this jealousy, and a boy came over to me, an older guy, he must have been 22, 23. He said, Wallace, can I talk to you for a minute? I'm like, sure. He said, you know, your speech hit me, but I am the most jealous person in the world. My friends' money I'm jealous of, their wives I'm jealous of, I'm jealous of their car. He says, I live in a life, my whole life is about jealousy. What should I do about it? Like, how do you get, if you're naturally jealous, like, so how do you get over it? So I told him something that I heard many years ago. When you go up to an ATM machine, right? You put your card into the ATM machine. Whatever is yours, whatever's in that ATM machine that's under your number, 614-328, pin number 128, right? Don't try that, it has nothing to do with anything. So you could take out, if you have $100,000, then you could take out $100,000. Does anybody ever walk away? Now you know it's Citibank, right? You put that card in, you know that there are a million accounts in that machine, and you know that there are billions of dollars. Billion, you have $200 in your savings account. There are people in Citibank that have billions of dollars. You walk away and say, oh man, I am so jealous of all those people in that machine. Never. Why? Because what's my shaykhus? What do I have to do with them? I have a PIN number. I have an account number. That's my money. What other people have, I don't even know what they have. And even if I knew what they have, right? If there's a piece of paper and, you know, after you get the receipt and it says $2.5 million, I'd be like, I'd like to be that guy's friend. But I'm not jealous of him. I don't know who he is. I have no shaykhs to him whatsoever. So people who are jealous means that you think, if I'm jealous of someone else, I think that his what he has should be mine. So that I don't have a number and he has a number. My number and his number is interchangeable. But we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates each person with his own fingerprints, and sort of to say his own number, and what I get has nothing to do with you. In other words, if you think about the psychology of it, God has infinite money. So it's logical, if you have $1,000 and that takes away from me the ability to have $1,000, okay, I'm jealous, I want your $1,000. But if you have $1 million and God can give me $1 million or $10 million or $20 million, he has what to give me, so you have no effect on me. You having money has no effect on me not having money. You having a nice wife has no effect on me not having a nice wife. You having a nice car and a nice house, nothing. If I'm supposed to get it, right? If that's what my number gets in the machine, it has nothing to do with you. Just like when you go to take money out of an ATM machine, it has nothing to do with, there's a million people in there with billions of dollars, but you have nothing to do with it. So the... Well, you're not jealous of being him, you're jealous of what he has. That's what him is. Kina Seifrim, you're jealous of someone else how to learn and you don't, that's a good thing. You're jealous of his material, of his material goods. And also, you have to understand that your package, right? One guy's supposed to be built and lift weights and schlep groceries, whatever it is, and another person's supposed to be, each person when he comes out to this world, he has a tachlis, a road that he has to take. And God puts the backpack on him. I told you many years ago that there was one of my talmidim was in a group in the Israeli army, and these were these paratroopers that used to drop behind the enemy lines, and they were always scared in the Israeli army that there might be Arab spies amongst the guys that are in the group, so they would never tell them what the mission is, and they wouldn't even tell you what's your job on the mission. These guys were like, you know, like Navy SEALs. They could do anything, and they wouldn't even tell you. They wouldn't tell you anything. What would happen was that they would drop you down by parachute. When you would land, you'd have a knapsack. You'd open up the knapsack. That would tell you what you're going to do. At that point, it's too late to be a spy. So the guy who pulls out a radio knows I'm the radio man. The guy who pulls out the sniping gun, right, with the scope, knows he's the sniper. Now, if the radio man's going to try to shoot someone with the radio, and the sniper's going to try to talk into the gun, these guys are in big trouble. So the radio man can't say, I wish I was the sniper, because the sniper has a gun, you have a radio. And the sniper can't use the radio because it's not made. So, and then the guy has the anti-tank, and the other guy is a medic. He has medicines, and he knows he has to be, even though all of them are ambidextrous, they could all these guys could do everyone else's job. But they look in their backpack. So when a person is able to, and this is something that I talk about all the time, when you're in contact with yourself, and you're really real with yourself, then you know what your kleichas are, and you see what Hashem put in your backpack. So if you're a good speaker, and you tell good stories, so then you can give a shiur. If you're very good with numbers, then you can be an accountant, and you can make an honest living, and maybe you can do some free accounting on the side for yeshiva. And if your hands are very steady, and you're interested in medicine, so then you can become a surgeon. And that's the way Hashem, his world could not work if we're all doing the same thing. So one guy's a shoemaker and one guy's a butcher. And you know, I always wonder, like, you have these little stores where then you know they can never make a lot of money. It's a candy store and they're selling newspapers, right? So why is that guy doing that? And the answer is, because that's what he's comfortable with, because you need a newspaper, a candy store, and you need a taxi driver, and you need a shoemaker, and you need a guy who's a dry cleaners, and that's the yeshiva olam. So, if I want to do your job, and if I want to be a surgeon because I tell good stories, it's very nice. I'm going to tell the guy who's laying there who needs his appendix taken out a good story, he's going to die, right? And a surgeon who knows how to take out appendix, he's going to give a shear, and he's the most boring guy in the world, everyone's going to fall asleep. So every person has to look at and work at and try to figure out what they're good at, look into their backpack, look into their abilities, and they need to take that. That's what Hashem gave you. He doesn't have to tell you. You have to look at what you're good at, and that's your ability, and that's what you have to use to, you know, to do the best that you can. And every single person is very, very different. And when you realize that, you're not, you know, jealous. There's always a famous story with the guy with the stone cutter. I don't know if you ever read that book. The stone cutter, he looks at the sun, he wants to be the sun, then he wants to be a sun. He ends up wanting to be a stone cutter. He ends up becoming what he was, because that's what he was good at, and that's what he was used to. So when a person realizes that I have my own bank card, and I have my own ID, and I have my own number, my number doesn't work in your account. It doesn't work in your account. I could press it all day long. It doesn't work. Your money that's in your account is not my money. So then he wouldn't be jealous. I explained this to this guy last night. He said, he has to internalize it, whatever it is. And again, if you want to be, I always say this, if you want to be like someone else, that makes you the duplicate. God doesn't create duplicates. So then he doesn't need you in this world. If he's the original and I'm jealous of him and I want to be like him, so God's like, okay, so then who needs you? I already created him. You I created to be different. You want to be the same? So you're a duplicate. If you're a duplicate, then what are you doing in this world? Goodbye, have a good day. You're out of this world. So the whole thing that each person is here is to do a different malacha. Jealousy breaks that whole thing down. It destroys your individuality. Because you want to be like somebody else. You don't have that individuality. If you don't have the individuality, then you don't. Then you become like a school of fish. You're just running along. And a lot of kids today, they're missing that because they don't have communication skills. It's all Apple and it's Instagram. Instagram means I don't have individuality. I'm one of 50 million subscribers. So I'm not a person. I'm on Google. I'm on this. I'm on that. So you're just a subscriber. You're just amongst this huge technology, social network, which takes away from who you are, because you're just one of the fish in the pond. It does, you know, and it takes away our individuality in being able to speak. You know, look what happens every Shabbos. I get text Good Shabbos. That same person sent it out to every person on their phone. So if they have 1,000 people on their phone, 1,000 people are getting a text. So I'm not an individual. I'm just one of 1,000 that happen to be on your phone. Don't send me Good Shabbos. That you're not selling me Good Shabbos. I'm one of the fish that happens to be on your phone. That's not a Good Shabbos. So it very much takes away our individuality. And the truth is that we don't want to be individuals, because guess what? To be an individual, you have to look at yourself. To look at yourself, you see your potential. You see your potential, you have a lot of work to do. I don't want to work. Who wants to work? So I'd rather just be one of the fish, you know? But you know what they say, the fish that are all going downstream, how do you know they're alive? You don't. They could be all dead. They're still gonna float downstream. How do you know when a fish is alive? When he floats against, upstream. You know when a salmon's alive, because he's going against the stream. If you're following anybody else, you're a deadhead. You know, like, okay, everyone's doing this, all right? And that's what the word peer pressure, I spoke to a girl about this today. You know, peer pressure. Peer pressure means when someone succumbs to peer pressure, and a lot of kids, you know, girls are talking to boys and boys are talking to girls and doing and getting phones and doing all kinds of things they shouldn't, and the real reason is because all my friends are. Peer pressure spells lack of individuality. If I'm doing it because all of you are doing it, then I'm not an individual. I'm just a fish that's going along with the rest of the fish. Or like, you know, in South Africa, when 20,000 bison are running, because the first guy decided, the first buffalo decided he's going to run. All the Meshugam are running after him for 20 miles. Ask the buffalo, why are you running? I don't know. The guy in front of me is running. Why are you running? Well, the guy in front of me is running. Till you get to the front guy, and you're like, why are you running? He's like, because all those idiots behind me are following me. That's what we are. I'm like a bunch of buffalo. Nobody knows why they're running. Today in shul, the guy was busy on his phone the whole time. I was going crazy. I didn't say anything. She also with Thomas, I didn't say anything, but I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're in shul. Yeah, you have to be on the phone. You have to be, you know. So we're all running. We don't know why we're running. Why are you running? I don't know, because he's running. You know, it's like you go into the middle of Manhattan and you look up. And the guy next to you looks up. What is he looking at? And the next guy, all of a sudden you have 10,000 people looking up. And like, why are you looking up? I don't know. They're all looking up. Must be something's going on. And they ask the first guy, why are you looking up? He goes, because I knew I'd get all those 10,000 idiots to look up. And that's what we are. That's how we're living in our generation today. Totally lack of individuality. No individuality. Because it's very hard to be an individual. Individually, you have to find out who you are. Oh, it's scary. Who am I? When I find out I have a backpack and I have something in it, I got to use it. I got to learn how to use it. I got to learn how to use my ability and my potential. It's crazy. We mamash live in a crazy world. It's mamash crazy. Kids don't want to go to camp. Parents have to force their kids on the bus to go to camp. You know that? Nobody wants to go to camp. We were already in a camp in yeshiva in our head. A month before camp, I was already thinking about, I'm going to hit that last three-pointer, and the whole camp's going to be jumping up and down. Wallerstein won the game. I was already, my head was already in camp a month or two before camp. Today, you can't get a kid to go to camp. Why not? Because in camp, I can't have a phone. I'm serious. I can't have a phone. I can't have my DVD. And there's no life. Trees? Sports? A pool? Ugh! That's all great if I have my phone. I don't have my phone. So kids are momish. I'm serious. They're having withdrawal, phone withdrawal. Like, there are certain camps, actually, that are so in the boondocks in Pennsylvania that the phone doesn't work. Isn't that amazing? Nobody wants to go there. The camps don't understand. How come nobody wants to come to our camp? There's no antenna. So a girl told me she wasn't going to go to camp. She's 16. She's not 12. She wasn't going to go to camp. I'm not going to say the name of the camp. And a bunch of friends were not going to go to camp this year. They heard that they put up a huge antenna not far away. They put up a new antenna, a Verizon antenna, and the phones are going to work. They're all going to camp. So they're not going to camp. They're going to the phones. Right? It's crazy. You have 8 weeks to go and enjoy life and get out of it? No. No, because you're going to go to camp, and you're going to have to find out without your phone that you're human, and that you might have to look at yourself, and you might have to really make friends that you're going to have to talk to, not text. And that's very, very scary. And therefore, once we're in that world where it's peer pressure, and if I don't have individuality, I'm very jealous. My name is Achaia Wallerstein, and that's who I am, I don't care what you have, because it has nothing to do with me. In fact, I hope you have a lot, and I hope you do very well, and I hope you give me the same blessing. I hope you look at me the same way and say, Wallerstein, you're an individual. I hope you do very well. Because if I'm an individual and you're an individual, we want each other to do well. But if we're not, if we're part of a group, then why can't I have what you have? And why can't you have what I have? We're all just part of this cult, this group. In a cult, in communism, everybody has the same. The whole thing of communism was to break the individual. That's the whole idea, to break the individual. It's one commune. And if we can do that, then we can control you, like they did in communism. We can control you because you have no individuality, then we can do whatever we want. And that's what happens with the Nachash. The Nachash came to Chava, and he knew that if he could get her, if he could get Kina into her, he would destroy her. So what happens? He says, listen, this is a plan. By the way, which we're not going to have time to do tonight, but you need to know another very important point, and Emet Hashem is going to be in the book. A person who has Hakaras HaTov, which is the book is called Hakaras HaTov, a person who appreciates and recognizes the good, Hakaras HaTov, recognizes the good and appreciates, can never be jealous. It's a kafei tov that's jealous. In other words, if I appreciate what Hashem gave me, then why do I want something that you have? Then I would understand if God did not give it to me, then it's not for me. But when a person doesn't appreciate what he has, so I want more, and I want the new phone, and mommy, you gave me this, but I want this, and mommy, I want this, and mommy, I want that, like a little kid. You gave him one candy, he wants three candies. Why? Because he doesn't appreciate you gave him the first candy. But if he appreciates you gave him the first candy, he's like, wow. That was amazing, and thank you very much. And if you want to give me more, fine, but I'm not going to ask you for more. So I ripped this apart last night in my speech. It wasn't taped. That you need to know that if you're jealous of someone, there's three things going on here. There's kinna, and there's sinna. The jealousy is going to cause you to hate. And on top of that, you cannot have jealousy if you're a person who has a karsa type. You're thankful for what you have, then what do I care what you have? So the nachash went straight for the heart here. And he knew that if he could get her to sin, to be jealous of Hashem, automatically, if she's jealous of Hashem, means she doesn't appreciate, right? So listen to what he did. He mamash went after her point. She said,
No! Look, God is good. He said, Hashem said,
from we could eat from anything in the garden, right? Mipriya eats noichal. I have a karsa toiv. Thank you, Hashem. So what did he do? He wanted to destroy this because he knew that the one thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't put up with, God doesn't put up with, is a person who has no appreciation. So he knew that it would anger God if he could show that Chava, Adam and Chava, have no appreciation. So what does he do? He says to her, listen, if you eat from this tree, v'hiyisem kilokim, you're going to be like God, yodea toivara. The yodea alokim, the reason Hashem said that you can't eat from the tree, not stam, he said not to eat from the tree, because he didn't want you to eat from the tree and be like him. So he has something you don't have. He knows good from bad. You don't. So he hit her kina button, her jealousy. All of a sudden, when she heard that God has something that she does not have, look what happened. She saw that the tree was good to eat. What do you mean? You were by the tree the whole time. Why didn't you? Until now, you didn't see the tree was good to eat. All of a sudden, now you see the tree is good to eat. You're standing by the tree the whole time. You're in the Gan Eden. What happened all of a sudden? But now that I'm jealous, when you're jealous, right? What did she need to know, Bein Tov L'Ra? She's not God. She should have said, he's God. He needs to know Bein Tov L'Ra. I'm not God. What do I need it for? But when a person becomes jealous, nothing makes sense. Even the pasuk doesn't make sense. It says, right? She saw that the fruit was good to eat. You can't see the fruit is good to eat. You can only taste the fruit is good to eat. When you see a fruit, you don't know if it's good to eat. You have to taste it, right? And it goes the other way around. She saw it's good to eat. And she lusted at it. She saw it's a lust from her eyes. One second. How does it work? How does it work with taiva? First you look at something, right? And then you look at it, you're like, wow, I wish I could have that. And then you bite into the fruit, and then it's good. Here, it went the other way around. She saw that the fruit was good, right, to eat, before her eyes saw it. Then her eyes saw it. It should have been, she looked at it, she wanted it, she ate from it. It went the other way around. It went the other way around. She liked it. She looked at it. Right? What happened over here? And the answer is that all her senses got mixed up. Her tasting, her seeing, her feeling, it all got mixed up. Because once a person's jealous, it doesn't make sense at all. The whole thing doesn't make sense. So now all of a sudden, she needed this tree. She needed this fruit. Why didn't you need it an hour ago? Because God had something I don't have. You don't need it. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference. He has a crayon. You're not even drawing. I need it. You know, little kid. He has a crayon. I need a crayon. What do you mean? You're not even drawing anything. I know, but if he has a crayon, I have to have a crayon. Tati, you gave him a crayon. You have to give me a crayon. But you're not drawing. You don't even have a coloring book. I know. Maybe one day I'll have one. Jealousy makes no sense. And then she gave it, v'titen gam l'isha, she gave it to her husband. Says Rashi, right? V'titen gam l'isha, why did she give it to her husband? At this point, she was on a much higher level. She knew good from bad. He did not. He was a dummy walking around. Everything's good. You burnt the chillin'? Great. You didn't do my laundry for 2 weeks? Fantastic. By him, there was no raha. So she had the perfect husband. A guy that's walking around all day, everything's good. Why would she give him to eat from the tree? Once he eats from the tree, he's going to be on her level. Godly. Why would she do that? Says Rashi, very sad. Rashi says, Shalei Thomas he v'yichyahu. She said, are you kidding me? I'm going to die and he's going to live? No way. What do you mean? Once you're dead, what do you care if he lives? Right? Says Rashi, Shema Yisacheres. Because if he lives, he's going to get married to someone else. Ask Chazal, Chava, what are you talking about? There is no other woman. You're the only woman. If you die, he doesn't have anyone else. When it comes to jealousy, there's no cheshbon. You don't sit down and try, do I need it? Don't I need it? It doesn't even make sense. What are you talking about? There's no other woman. What are you worried about? It doesn't matter. He can't live if I don't live. The bottom line is if I don't have it, if I don't have Chaim forever, he can't have Chaim forever. What's that corrupt? That's like a sinner. Like, it's your husband. What are you doing? And the answer is that kina corrupts. And had she had a karsa tov, she would have told the snake, Listen to me. Hashem gave me every tree but two. I don't need it. I have everything I need. But she was a kafui toiv. And that's why later on Hashem calls them afar, because we know that nothing grows from afar, and adam is potential. Whatever you put into the ground, you put in corn, comes out corn, you put out potatoes, comes out potatoes. Whatever a person puts into the ground, comes out. So this kina, which turned into sinna, where did it turn into sinna? Next generation, Cain and Hevel. Next generation, DNA. Next generation, Cain kills Hevel. Why does he kill Hevel? Because he's jealous. Hevel's carbon went up, and his carbon did not go up. So what she did, she had this kina, right, caused a sinna between Cain and Hevel, where he actually killed his brother, Shvichas Damim. Actually killed his brother. What was it based on? It was based on kina. And based on a kafui toiv. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you look at the, it's not, I'm not teaching Bereishis today, but if you look at the backwards and forwards, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, relax, so I didn't take your carbon now, I would have taken it later. No! That wasn't the problem that you didn't take my carbon. The problem was you took Hevel's carbon. I don't care if you didn't take my carbon, but you took Hevel's carbon. You took his carbon and not mine. He went so far from his kina that he killed him. Shvichas Damim. That's the basis of sinas chinam. You hate somebody, when a girl says, I just don't like her, no. What happened? She has more friends than you? Something, you don't just walk into a room and say, I don't like this guy. There's something about him, maybe he's better looking than you, maybe he's dressed better than you, maybe he got out of a nicer car. Then you, I don't like him. Why don't I don't know why I don't like him. I do know why you don't like him. You don't like him because if you go deep, deep into your psyche, you don't like him because there's something about him that you wish you had. You don't just not like. You don't not like an elephant. An elephant has no shaykhs to me. Why it doesn't matter to me. This person has shaykhs to me. What do you mean he has shaykhs to you? He doesn't have shaykhs to you. He has no connection to you. He's created with his own fingerprint, his own entity, his own individuality. You have your own individuality. You don't have any shaykhs. He has much shaykhs to you as an elephant has to you. There's no difference between him and an elephant. And that's what I told this guy last night. And therefore, what are you jealous of him? He's an elephant. He has nothing to do with you. He has his own bank account in Shemayim, his own creation, his own fingerprints. He has nothing to do with you. And therefore, stop sticking your card and trying to get money out of his account. You don't have his code. He has a different code than you have. In the end, what's going to happen? You keep doing that, you're going to have two cops putting you in handcuffs. Because the machine's going to say, someone's trying to steal. Someone's trying to put somebody else's code in there. And Chas V'Shalom, a person who keeps doing that, in Shemayim, you know, they have to put handcuffs on you. Jealousy was the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And the whole story of Kamtzer Bar Kamtzer, he came and he was at the meal and he should have left him there. And he didn't leave him there. So Pinchas, this week's parasha, Pinchas ben Allah ben Aaron HaKohen, he did the opposite. Everything Hashem created in the world, every midah that Hashem created in the world, he created for a good purpose and a bad purpose. The famous question is, why did Hashem create atheists? Right? Why did God create atheists? Atheism, that whole non-belief, apikorsis, not believing in God. What could be good about that? So they say, when a person comes to you for tzedakah, you have to become an atheist. Don't tell him, oh, don't worry, God will take care of you. God has plenty of money. When God wants, you'll be rich. When a person comes for tzedakah, you have to say, there's no God. The only one that can help this poor person is me. So atheism, apikorsis, was put into this world when it comes to tzedakah, when it comes to helping someone. Someone's stuck on the side of the road, Hashem will take care of you, don't worry, daven a little bit. No, there's no Hashem. You have to take care of them. So there's a reason for jealousy. What could be good about jealousy? Kinas Seifrim, somebody knows how to learn, and you're jealous of that, you're allowed to be. But look what happened here by Pinchas. Bekana is kinasi b'seichem. Pinchas was jealous for God. He was jealous, Bekana is kinasi, for me. Pinchas saw Achilo Hashem. And he was jealous for Hashem. How could I allow Achilo Hashem to my God? I can't allow such a thing. So he was, the jealousy is a very hard word, but he was jealous. In other words, you can't do this. It's Hashem. You can't do this. And he put his life in the danger. He thought he was going to die, by the way. He was sure that he didn't know Hashem was going to do a miracle. He was sure that he was going to die. But that kanois comes from the word kina. That kanois, that moment where he was willing to give up his whole life because this terrible chilul Hashem of avodah zarah, right? There was two averas here. There was avodah zarah and there was gilui arayos at the same time. And he had this kina for Hashem. So listen to this, beautiful. Why do human beings die? Because of the nachash. Because we ate from the Eitz Hadas. What was the basis of the Aver and the Eitz Hadas? Kina. So a person who uses that midah for the right reasons, to avenge Hashem, so he's fixing, right, what happened by the Eitz Hadas. So therefore he doesn't deserve to die. So what did Hashem reward him with? Brisi Shalom. That he would never die. He became Eliyahu HaNavi. He never died. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen never died. Because he used the kina for the right reason. So he was misaken what happened when she ate from the Eitz Hadas. Unbelievable. And that's why it says, "Bekanes kinasi, the cycle like Lizzie ben Israel, lechein amamah." Therefore, what do you mean therefore? Therefore what? He didn't know something like Brishi Shalom. He fixed what happened by the Eitz Hadas, the Aveira, that Chava ate from the tree, because she used kinah for the wrong reason, and it was a tavale naim, and she used it for the wrong reason. That brought death into the world, but he deserved not to die, because he actually took death away from the world. How did he take death away from the world? How did he return this chilisi, this terrible misa that was coming to Klai Yisrael? How did he return it? By fixing the first Aveira, which was based in jealousy. He fixed that jealousy, and he used it to do a kiddush Hashem for Hashem. That returned the whole Chamasi back to Shemayim. Because the whole death was based on kinna for the wrong reason. Godless. Pleiadic. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. The tie is unbelievable. This week's Parshas Pinchas. So what better week where the 3 weeks start tonight and the whole basis of the 3 weeks is the destruction of the second base HaMikdash, which is based on Sinas Chinam, hating for no reason, which is based on kinna. What better Parsha? So you want to fix it? And you want to bring the Beis HaMikdash back? You got to do what he did. You got to use jealousy for the good thing, for the good purpose. Then the Nachash loses. He loses the whole thing that he started. And then we bring back the Beis HaMikdash. This is the Parsha this week, the first week of the 3 weeks, right? The 3 weeks of destruction. It's Parsha's Pinchas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us how to fix everything. So I just want to tell you something very interesting that I saw brought down in Torah Tavlin 1. I think it's very, very fascinating. So Lemaise, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard to go out there and fix things, right? He says a very ridiculous story. And I want to connect this with my last story and we'll end with that. He says, it's a true story because whatever he brings here is true. Listen to this. He says, a bar mitzvah boy once came with his father to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Right? They used to come, get a dollar, put on tefillin for a bracha. So the Rebbe gave the boy a bracha that he should be the source of pride to the Jewish people and his family. As they turned to leave, it's an unbelievable story. It's like, wow. The Lubavitcher Rebbe asked the boy a question. He said to the boy, tell me, are you a baseball fan? Lubavitcher Rebbe. The bar mitzvah boy looked at the Rebbe. And he nodded, yeah, if the Rebbe is asking me, yes, I am a baseball fan. This happened in the 1950s, if you know anything, 1955, the Brooklyn Dodgers beat the New York Yankees in the World Series. And in the 50s, it was a very big competition, like we have the Mets and the Yankees. So they had the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Yankees. And they were both very, very good teams. The Yankees usually won the World Series. In 55, the Dodgers won the World Series. So the Rebbe asked him, which team are you a fan of, the Yankees or the Dodgers? So the boy, it's Crown Heights, right? It's the Brooklyn. So the boy said, the Dodgers, of course. So the Rebbe asked, does your father take you to games? So the boy said, yeah, every once in a while. Actually, Rebbe, we were at a game a month ago. Really, said the Rebbe, how was the game? The boy made a face, said it was very disappointing. By the sixth inning, the Dodgers were losing 9-2. So we decided to leave, right? So the Rebbe asked him, no, you would take a story. The Rebbe asked him, did the players also leave the game when you left? So this was what inning did we say? Sixth inning. So the boy rolled his eyes at the Rebbe. He said, of course not. There are players and there are fans. The fans can leave whenever they want. They're not part of the game. And the game could and does continue after they leave. But the players need to stay and try to win until the game is over. So the Rebbe said to him, that is the lesson I want you to know about Judaism. Said the Rebbe with a smile. You have a choice. You can either be a fan or a player. Be a player. So he's saying over here by Pinchas, he said when they were doing the Aveira, right, the Nasi of Shimon, with Kadri Bafsur, so the elders, the Zakenim were crying, Moshe Rabbeinu was crying, he didn't know how to respond, because he was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, you also married a Midjani, you married Tzipora, right? Everybody stood around as spectators, except for Pinchas. He took matters into his own hands. He was not a fan. He was a player. And the player doesn't leave the game till the game is over. So I want to end with something that happened this week. I'm not going to say in which shul. Oh, there's also one other thing I want to read from the chinuch over here. But I went to a shul, and I wasn't feeling so great that morning. So I ended up davening late, and I came out of the shul at like 11:30. And I think it was Sunday. Today's Tuesday. Oh yeah, so it was Sunday. So Sunday was 95 degrees. It was very, very, very hot and very, very, very humid. And there was a lady sitting outside, her face was all red, and she was collecting tzedakah. She had her cup, and it was 11:30, I walked out. So I asked her, you know, since when have you been sitting here? And she said, she comes to the first meeting like 5:30. So she was sitting out there for 6 hours, 95 degree weather. So I gave her a dollar, a quarter, whatever it was, and I said, can I get you a drink? So I saw she had a water bottle, but it was empty. Nah, I'm like, your face is all red. You're gonna chalish. Let me get you a drink. So I took her a bottle of water. I filled it up with cold water. And then I filled up a cup with cold water, and I brought it to her. Okay. I give it to her, and I said, how many people offered you water today? How many people? You're here since 5:30 to 11:30. How many people offered you water? No. I'm like, no, just answer the question. How many people offered you water today? Nobody. She's sitting there 6 hours collecting money. Nobody offered her a glass of water. Now, people put a dollar in, people put quarters in, could be people put $5 and $20. But nobody saw past the cup. Everybody saw a cup that needed money. But they didn't see that the cup is connected to a hand that's connected to a person that happens to be sitting there schwitzing in 95 degree weather. We have to be able to see past the cop and not to be the fan, but to be the player. And I'm not saying this about myself that I figured it out, because I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I walked by and not offered any water. It happened to be that day. It was very hot. I haven't ever seen it. It caught me. It caught me that day to give her water. But I think that in the 3 weeks, we need to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have what's called Ahavas Chinam. In other words, there's no reason for me to give her water. She's not my mother. She's not my sister. I don't know her. She's a collector. But she's a Jew, and she's a person. And not even a Jew. She's a person. And she's sitting there for 6 hours, and her face is beet red. So Ahavas Chinam, I'm going to give her water. I'm gonna ask somebody in shul, anybody need a ride? Now, you can wait for Hillel to say, does anyone need a ride to Lakewood or that? But sometimes you could just, Hillel's not there, and he's outside, and he's in the bathroom, he's upstairs. You'd say after Meyer, by the way, if anybody needs a ride, I'm going to Flatbush. Not is anyone going to Flatbush and then raise your hand, but I'm going to Flatbush. Because once he asks that, it's really different than Ahavas Chinam means there's no reason for me whatsoever to do this. And I think in every one of our lives, it doesn't mean you have to go and clean somebody's shoes. I think in our lives, in the next 3 weeks, we should look for things. We were mamash doing things for people, for our parents, for others, for no reason. Do good things, Ahavas Chinam, to try to destroy what destroyed, to get rid of what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, which is Sinas Chinam, and there's so much of it. There's just people that there's so much, the word, we don't call it Sinas Chinam today. I'll tell you the word that's used today, drama. There's so much drama at work, drama in school, drama in shul, drama at home. Drama is Sinas Chinam and Kina. That's, they made it into a word that sounds very cool. Or there's a lot of drama in this office. That means everyone is stabbing each other in the back. and everybody's talking Lashon Hara. And in school, this one's talking in the office, and this one's talking about this teacher, and this one's talking about that one, and in shul, and the rabbi, and this and that. We call it a lot of drama, but it's not drama, it's sinas chinam. And that's something that the 3 weeks, we cannot have any of. And if we have the ability, b'kanais kenasi, to be jealous for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that doesn't mean to change everyone else, but to change yourself. You don't have to go kill somebody. It's an interesting pasuk. It's very important because there are a lot of people out there that like to be the guys who go around, check your food, you stop talking, the guys who, right? Kanoim. Pinchas was not a kanoi. Do you know that? Listen to this, what it says in the pasuk. The pasuk is very, very careful to tell us this. It's very important because people have this picture, oh, Pinchas, he was looking for trouble. Oh, and he was jealous when Zimri got this girl, right? Listen to what the pasuk tells you. Vaya Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, he saw what was going on. Vayakom mitoicho eda. He was one of everybody else. He wasn't the guy walking around the shul looking for somebody. He wasn't the tzniyus patrol in school or looking for, you know, oh, look what you're doing wrong, right? Which throws off so many kids instead of trying to help them, just ratting on them, right? He was one of them. He got up amongst them. He wasn't separated. He wasn't one of these guys. No, you take a pshat. I forgot who said this. He says, why do I have to say, right? You just say, he took the reymach and he killed them. Of course it was in his hand. He says, you need to know that the reymach was not in his hand. He wasn't a guy walking around with a spear. Okay, first guy to do something wrong, I'm going to kill you. He wasn't like that. He didn't have a spear. He was one of the regular people. He had to go look for a spear. He wasn't walking around with a spear. He was an ish shalom. That's what the Torah was telling us. He was a peaceful man. But when somebody was defacing his God, he wasn't a regular person anymore. He took kinah. He was jealous for Hashem. And he saved Klal Yisrael. He took the kinah of Chava, the kinah of the Nachash, and he turned it around, and through turning it around, he was able to take the wrath of God that was already coming to the world and already was sent from Hashem. He was able to turn it around and send it back and live forever. And that's what we need to do in these 3 weeks. Which we need to work on. Avas chinam. To love every Jew. Chas v'shalom in these 3 weeks to talk bad about a Jew. Chas v'shalom in these 3 weeks to help the Satan. Only good about the Jews. Only good. You have to see only the good. That doesn't mean that if someone's doing something wrong, you shouldn't help them and talk to them. But when you're talking about the Jews to each other, only good in these 3 weeks. It's a very dangerous time for us. And if the Jew himself is saying bad, so the Satan's like, I didn't say it. They said it. You know, your own kids are talking about each other. What do you want from me? I'm a good guy. I'm just bringing the recording home. I didn't do it. But be very, very careful in the 3 weeks not to hit anyone, not to get into a fight with anyone, not to lose your temper. Just the opposite. It's 3 weeks. You have to have rachamim. You have to be nicer to everybody. And you have to do more mitzvahs of chesed. And you have to break your kinnah. And that'll bring back the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed over 2,000 years only for one reason. Only because of sinas chinam. That's it. And we're not going to get back to Beis HaMikdash until we fix it. The other things, murder and adultery and all that other stuff, 70 years, that was the whole punishment. This is plus 2,000 years. So I just got a new sefer, Mitzvah Hashem. I hope we're going to learn a lot from it. It's from Reb Shlomo Mizvil. And I just want to take one little thing that I just saw today. I opened it up. I just saw it today on Chinuch of Children. We'll end with this. He says something amazing. He says that the chinuch of children is like a hen, hadoigris al habeya. If you want to know how to be mechanic your children, you have to think like a chicken, a hen, that sits on an egg. Shemimena tzarech letzeis efrach. Because what comes out of the egg? A little chick, a little baby. Betchila, in the beginning, he tzricha l'sheves chof alef yom al habeya. The hen has to sit, the mother hen has to sit on the egg for 21 days. Kadesh yeh mischamim, it should become warm, v'tiyeh ruyo l'haytzi efrach, in order to bring out a baby. So number one, what he's trying to say is that when you want your child to develop correctly, it has to come from warmth, from love, and from warmth. Number one. And to bring this chicken into the world, it has to do, the chicken, the mother, has to do two opposite actions. Mitzad echad, from one side, she needs to sit on the egg, and cover it from all sides, that it shouldn't become cold. It sits on the egg, right? So that it doesn't become cold. Because if a little cold gets into the egg, the baby dies. Mitzad sheni, from the other side, she has to make sure that she doesn't sit too heavy on the egg, because the egg will get a crack, it'll be destroyed. So it's got to sit on the egg completely to keep it warm, but it can't sit on the egg too much, too heavy, because it'll crack it. We avoid the kasha, he says, and it's very hard. It's the only one that can do this. Why did Hashem do this? Hashem does everything for a reason. He gave wisdom to the rooster, to the chicken. The chicken knows exactly how long and how heavy it can sit on that egg. He says, and this is chinuch. From one side, you have to be very careful that no bad stuff gets into the child. But you have to make sure that you don't do it too much. Not to choke him too much. So he says, because you have to give him warmth and you have to protect it. You can't give it too much warmth and you can't give it too much protection, because if you're going to squeeze it and you're not going to let it breathe at all, then the egg's going to crack. He says, a person has to learn chinuch. It's interesting. From a chicken on an egg. One is that the most important thing is you have to keep it warm. Chavivas. You have to teach children me'ahava. Whether you're a Rebbe or a father or a chavrusa, when you teach children, it has to be mamash like a chicken on the egg. You got to make sure that no kariris, no cold, no anger, no hatred, no coldness goes into their heart, because you'll lose the child. On the other side, you can't sit on them too much. This is what he says. You sit him on too much, you're going to crack him. You can't pressure him every minute, right? Go play ball. Go with your friends. Go play ball. Go relax a little bit. You got to let him live. You can't push him too hard. If you're going to push him too hard, he's going to crack. If the egg cracks too early, you lose the baby. I didn't. Rav Shlaima says this. So that's, a person has to be with a lot of love, a lot of protection, but you have to let him breathe also. And it's a chachma. It's the first bracha you make in the world. Right? The chicken has seichel. So we have to have the same seichel. Anyway, so we're going into the 3 weeks. We talk about Kosh Baruch Hu should protect Klal Yisrael from the 3 weeks. Very dangerous 3 weeks for Klal Yisrael. He should protect us in the schus of Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, Heshiv es Chamasi, that in the schus of all the Avas Chinam that Klal Yisrael will have in the next 3 weeks, Kosh Baruch Hu, even if his anger is out, and even if there's danger coming to the world, Heshiv es Chamasi, Kosh Baruch Hu should take it back, and we should be zeichet to see the third Beis HaMikdash, so I can't say anymore that it's 2,000 years and it's still not here. Bezrat Hashem, we should celebrate this year Tisha B'Av as a Yontif. Thank you very much and a good night.
TorahAnytime.com sends cameras out day and night to video and audio record the best Torah classes around. We then make them available to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Watch, listen to, and download lectures on TorahAnytime.com today.